Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Good morning, Kelly.
Hi.
I picked names for today's show from Japan. The dad is Ren. And the young woman, his daughter, is Yuki.
Okay.
And I've also been watching some Japanese volleyball. And Yuki is one of my favorite players.
Oh.
That is, it's a man's name, though, and I'm not certain if I'm actually pronouncing it right. I've been trying to listen to the commentators to make sure that I am, but
we'll see.
We'll see. And maybe somebody will email and let us know. Okay, so it begins with consent, as all sessions do. And then we move through the validation process at the beginning of the session, which is usually about 10 to 12 validations that the dead person gives me to give to the client. So I went through all of those with Yuki, and it was great accuracy. Ren was very organized and took his time to give good validations. So Yuki asks me if I can just ask Ren for any messages for her, anything that he'd like to say to her. Very general. Some people do that. It's very ambiguous, and that's totally fine. And her dad, Ren, says, yeah, he says, I really believed that I was an honorable man and that I had an honorable marriage. And he said, I didn't live honorably. Yeah. And I said, you're going to have to give me way more information, but that is a great message.
Go on.
Oh, go ahead.
I'll have my thoughts afterwards.
Okay. Karen, I really believed that if you were married, that was honorable. That made you honorable because
right.
You were married.
But he might have had like several affairs, but stayed with the wife. Yeah.
So just the marriage itself makes him an honorable person.
Guys, yeah. It ain't hard to get married.
Eh?
It ain't hard to get married. Like it's a signature with a witness.
Right.
Getting married is not the hard part.
Yeah. But he has this big belief. And I'll say it's a big belief because it gives him a blanket permission to believe something of himself. And he goes into it and he talks about that with her. And he says, it gave me permission because society and religion said marriage is honorable, that I could get away with behavior that was dishonorable and still believe I was honorable. And then he says to her, this is cognitive dissonance. This state of confusion is done purposefully to give control. And he said, I took the control. And he says, I will give examples, and I want to do that. He says, and there's one in particular that will have a lot of meaning for Yuki. He says, but could you start with that? So I said it to Yuki, and she goes, you know what? She says, never in a million years, never, did I ever believe that I was going to get information like this in a medium session? She says, I've seen mediums. She says, I've gone to tons in my life. By the way, she's like in her mid-40s. She says, I've gone to many. She says, and never do I get a message with this much context and examples. And she says, I get validations and they're great. So, and that's been very helpful. She says, I really would like to hear more of what he has to say because I've been struggling with something. She says, so go ahead.
It's clicking right now. What's I'm finding interesting about that is if you're getting a medium, quote unquote, who can only give validations about what they looked like,
mm-hmm.
what they sounded like,
mm-hmm.
I would qualify that as a psychic.
Mm.
Like a psychic who can see past, present, future of what mm-hmm. they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But the mediumship to me is more so about being able to communicate on their behalf. It's the messages.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much the validations.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
But anyway, that's just my crossing thought.
Thank you. That's good. I think maybe it'll help some of the people listening to this question what they've been told or what they think their education has been, or perhaps what their experiences have been.
Right. Yeah, because who's educated about this?
I that's just what I was going to say next, because I think just some people throw the word psychic and medium out and they have no idea what they mean. Yeah. And I see that in my own sessions where people will say, I want this. And then they start saying something totally different that I'm not doing. And I look at them and go, yeah, that's not the same service. Mm-hmm. And they look at me like, what do you know?
And fair. Fair, yeah. If you've seen other people who, yeah. Anyway, okay.
I think it's all fair because I think there's been a ton of confusion around what we do, purposefully done by a patriarchy to create control and to over people so that they won't access what we do.
Fair. I also think there's just an honest and innocent confusion because all of the gifts show up different for people.
Oh, fair.
So how does one medium say to another, well, I also call myself that, but I don't do it exactly like you do.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Yeah,
that's lovely, Kelly. That's good. I'm glad you added that. So Ren says to me, he says, I didn't even listen to my wife. He said, I put that on Yuki. And eventually, her mom put the very same responsibility on her from far too young of an age that both of us turned to her. He says, but I know I did it first. He said, I turned to my daughter as a child to listen to me because I didn't want to go to my wife because she had a different opinion than me. And I said, can you give me an example? He said, absolutely, finances. And I was like, what? Are you serious? You went to your daughter at too young of an age to talk about investing or paying bills? Yeah, he says, I absolutely did. I would sit in the car with her and make sure her mom's gone. She's in the grocery store. Yuki and I are going to sit. We're going to wait in the car. I'm telling mom we're going to play games, but I'm going to talk to her about finances and what I'm investing in. Like I'm bouncing the ideas off my partner. And then I went out and I went right ahead and did those financial things. And then my wife was angry because I didn't tell her. And he said, this was unfair to do to Yuki. And he says, and then as she grew up, he says, I kept doing it. But eventually she started understanding more about the finances. This was later, like late teenage years. And then I actually started teaching her about it. And he said, now, he said, I see Yuki being really smart in her finances and investing for her family. It's not that she chose a job in it whatsoever, but he says, I totally see what she's doing, but she's doing it different than me. She's actually sitting down and talking to her husband about it. And when her husband has an opinion, she listens and they take turns with their decisions.
That's called healthy.
Yeah.
Just for anyone wondering.
Yeah. And he says they make choices together. And if they can't, they collaborate or they go out and do more research. And he said, I did do a lot of research. He says, and I did teach her eventually where to go to find the research on investments and banking and mortgages and paying off a visa and how to go to different institutions versus asking or doing a private loan with a person that you trust, he says, like, and having no interest rates. And he said, I did teach her a lot of things that ended up being good, but I did it at the wrong time in her life and I took her childhood. Hmm. He said, I used that to bond with her instead of letting her play, instead of letting her be curious or creative or sports minded. I didn't do any of those things. And her mother was angry. And she was justifiably angry that I was stealing her childhood and I was replacing my wife with my daughter. Mm-hmm. And my wife knew. She saw what I was doing. But she too felt that being married was more honorable than being single and definitely than being divorced. Mm-hmm. So we stayed in that marriage because we both believed that we were better than the other two groups of people.
That's really unfortunate conditioning.
common, but really unfortunate.
Yeah. And he said, I would never have admitted that on earth. I never would have said that I was mean to single people. I never would have said that I was mean to divorce people, but I did look down on them.
Yeah. It's a neat concept because while you are looking down on them, it's very much from a place of fear. Like, I don't want to become you.
Yeah.
Because I know what I truly think and feel, or I see what people truly do to judge you.
Yeah.
Or how systems are set up, you know, not in their favor.
Yes.
And it's like, well, I can't become it. So
yeah,
I'll be honorable.
Yeah. Yeah. And he talked to Yuki about like his type of thinking that he's being honorable, and the cognitive dissonance. That was so important that he admitted to his own grooming, and to apologize for it, to say, I never tried to come out of it. And I didn't try to look at that. And he acknowledges his wife, Yuki's mom. He says she did. He says that she did stay in it. She didn't do enough, but she did some. She always thought that if she was just still challenging him and confronting him, but staying in the marriage, she was still being honorable. And that she too looked down on the single people and the divorced people, much like him, which kept them both entrapped in that, right? Mm-hmm. And then he talks about how Yuki decides, well, no, I would like to be married. I would like to have a family, but I'm going to find ways to be truthfully honorable. I'm going to actually listen to my husband. I'm actually going to share my thoughts and beliefs and pick a person who actually really wants to negotiate. And negotiate means listen to me. Negotiate means value what I say. Give me a turn to be the leader. Take a turn to be the leader. Look to be supported. Look to support. Partnership. And I said all of this, like, it took time. And you could see as I'm taking the time to say this from her dad, that she's listening to him and she's, you know, taking it all in about the marriage. And you can see her sadness, like, about that, like watching her parents over all of these decades live these lies, as she and her husband are doing the exact opposite. And she says, this was something that this is a pain I was willing to bear. And I said, oh, this is beautiful. And she goes, yeah. She says, this is a worthwhile pain. Being different than my parents. Breaking those patterns. Being able to say that my parents' idea of honorable is just screwed up. And that I'm going to pick a truthfully healthy definition of honorable and make them and live my life accordingly as best I can, and be able to say to my husband, because she ended up saying to me near the end of the session that they both go to couples therapy and that they both have individual therapy from time to time to work on individual issues or their own individual issues. So then he says to her, I also wanted to comment. He says, I see that you're giving your children childhood. And those are my grandkids. And I can't thank you enough for giving them a childhood. And she said, yeah, okay. She says, that's true. What does he want to say about it? And he said, oh, he says that I see a ton of crafts in the house. He said, I see a craft station where the kids are allowed to age appropriately, do all kinds of crafts. And he talks to Yuki about, do you remember those little white flat things with the little bumps on them, and you took the little beads and you filled them all up?
That was my childhood.
And then you put the wax sheet on them and you ironed them, and melted. Yeah, I did. And they melted together, and then they made these beautiful little colorful shapes and stuff. I saw that and I said to her, oh my God, I said, I gave these to my kids all the time and all their friends, and they would go home with their little shapes and stuff. And she said, yeah. She says, I love the same crafts that I wished I got when I was a kid. I saw at my friends' houses. I might be able to bring home one because I did at a friend's place. She goes, I went out and I bought those things and I have them in my house for my kids, but I do them with my kids. And my husband will sit down and do them with the kids. This will be something we do over our coffee in the morning. or, you know, whatever. She says, we will sit and do these with the kids. She says, my husband's different though, Karen. She says, he had a childhood. And he will say something to me like, okay, so Saturday morning after play, after we get our housework and our chores done, it's playtime. It's we got, what do we want this time? And they pick, and they might pick, the kids might pick something like a craft morning or a sport morning, or so let's go out and kick the soccer ball or throw baseballs or hit with the bat or something. And they pick different things. And as I said that, and she's confirming it, I said, oh, I see it like, what do you call that? Dry erase board. And I couldn't make out if it actually was one or not, or a white chalkboard. I don't know. But it looked like it was in a mudroom, laundry room kind of a thing. And I said that to her, and she goes, oh my God. She goes, my dad sees that? And I said, yeah. And I said, it's really colorful. And she goes, yeah, it is. I've got all kinds of dry erase markers and all colors. And she says, does he know what the colors are? And I said, I don't know. I said, I can't see if the colors are by person or if the colors are by playtime, craft time. She says to me, it's by time, because I want to be able to see that each of us in a week has playtime, music, study time, exercise, sport, like music, or like all of the arts, like all of these different things, writing. Like she says, like, I like that. She
says, it's like nutrition for your heart.
Say that again.
It's like nutrition for your heart. She's basically got a food guide for well-being.
Yes.
But it's not food.
Exactly. And she says, I have that up in the laundry room, and each of us goes up, and sometimes like my husband will go up and he'll surprise everybody because he went out and bought a new board game. So he'll put it in like in everybody's right across the board. Like whatever it is, right? So the board is colorful, and she says it's something that we ask the children to look at and to see all the time through every different stage of their life, teenage years, whatever it is that they're going through. She says we haven't hit teenage years yet, but she says that's our goal, is to be able to check in with the kids and with each other and ourselves, to be able to say, what do I need? Ultimately, what we're trying to get the kids to do is to say, what do I need? But in the process, dad, in this instance, is showing them what I need is something we all need, and that we all have common needs. And so I'm respectful that you have your needs for this type of time in your day and in your week. So, because I need it too. So you go out and you do yours, and I'll support you. And how can I do that to support you? And I will get the same thing when I need to do it. And at other times, maybe it's something that we can all do together, and that brings us together in some of these different aspects of life. So we can do sports together. We might even be able to also like put in some reading time, and we sit down and we each read our own book, but it's just quiet in the house. So they're learning how to support each other and also be individuals. And he said, Yuki, he said, Mom and I didn't teach you that. And he said, this is something that you've learned to do because we didn't have that. You swung the pendulum in the opposite way. And I'm so happy for you and your partner and the my grandchildren that this has occurred. And he says, but I want to add to that message. My wife is part of that. He said, my wife has snuck her way in. And he said, and I'm so happy for her. She goes up to the board and she'll put a little asterisk, meaning grandma will join.
Cute.
And they love it. So now they reach out to her to say, we're doing such and such. Or she'll come in the laundry room, mudroom door when she visits, and she stops by the dry erase board to see what's going on. She picks up her little marker and she inserts herself. And the family is figuring out how to support her. And he said, they're creating collaboration and communication skills that I fought against and still called myself honorable and called my marriage honorable just because it was a marriage, without it ever having the actions, the intention, the follow through, like all of it. He said, like, I just thought honorable was something I got when I got that little paper that day. And then under that guise, it allowed me to do things that were quite the opposite. And he said, I didn't live my life with integrity. And I'm finding that my daughter is finding that integrity in spite of me. And he says, I just wanted to take the time to say, I see your life and see your choices and the way that you think and what you value. And that all of that goes together. It's not, it's none of it's separate. Mm-hmm. And he said, that's something that I really did in my life, is I really separated things. And he said, I'm so, so very proud of her. So I say all of this to Yuki, and she sits and looks at me and she says, I'm so glad. I'm so glad I recorded this. My husband, my girlfriends, my mom, everybody kept saying to me, record it. And she said, and I kind of didn't want to because I wanted it to be my private time with my dad. And she said, and then I sat back and I thought, this could be very beneficial for other people just to even hear snippets of it. And she says, and then I decided that I could just play 1 minute or 2 minutes of it for somebody and say the rest of it is personal.
If I want to.
Yeah. And she said, and now I understand why my husband said that this would be so important to go ahead and record it and then make my decisions as to what is shareable, mm-hmm. how much of it is, with whom, when I wanted to, yeah. and that it would be okay to have a process. And she said, this is something that my husband learned in his own family because they actually lived an more honorable life, is that they had these processes that I sometimes don't even know exist. But she says, I'm getting better because he talks to me about it, breaks it down. And I sit there and I go, that sounds far better than what I was thinking. And she says, it's so easy to be to listen and to incorporate what my husband suggests. And now I'm learning, I'm starting to come to the table with my own processes and my own suggestions, because I don't want it to be all of my husband's responsibility mm-hmm. to fix everything that was screwed up in my own family of origin. She says, so this is why I'm in therapy. She says, this is why I'm reading the books and why I'm doing the work, is that I realize it's not my husband's responsibility to carry that load on his shoulders.
Well, not to mention you get in a habit of having someone think for you. Mm. And I think, you know, it can be really exciting when you see someone doing something healthy, better than you, something that you like and enjoy. There can be just something altruistic about it, right? You get excited. Yeah. And then to realize, okay, but that doesn't make everything I think or everything I desire or what I'm used to wrong.
Yeah.
We still need to be able to think for ourselves instead of just going, well, I like what you do, so you tell me. And right. then we forget to have our own thoughts.
That's great. That was one of the things about that she said to me at the end, just in chatting with her when it was over. She said that when she looked back at the stuff her father taught her about the finances, the researching, she took that into the marriage and encouraged her husband to do the research. But she said, then I realized after that, when my husband would say, hey, you've already got the skill, why aren't you using it in a different direction? You know how to do this. You do it in finance, babe. Mm. And then she'd be like, oh yeah. And then she would apply those skills that her dad did teach her into other areas of her life. Mm-hmm. Right. So anyway, it was lovely. And I thought this was really good to explain to people because of the way that he started out in particular about all of the judgment about being like what honorable meant. And the how much it was related to creating cognitive dissonance. And then how much, once we get into that, how it completely destroy the relationships that we thought we wanted within that very structure. Mm. Instead of living more healthily.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the issues, because I recognize there's many, is that it's so poorly defined. Right. In the conditioning of society, and this is based on different cultures, right? Honorable is simply defined as staying married, not divorcing. Mm-hmm. Right. There's no description underneath about the quality of what that looks like or the expectation of communication or effort inside of it. It just is one thing or it is not another, right?
Yeah.
Not divorced.
Mm-hmm.
The ambiguity, the lack of definition, we have no direction on how am I supposed to act within this.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that to let him off the hook. Obviously, I'm all for accountability. It's just that many people were raised with that expectation mm-hmm. of such terrible or terribly defined things.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so just to kind of sum it all up then too, Kelly, at the very end here, he said he wanted to apologize to her mother and to her. And he said that the mom, her mother, did try to communicate, did try to do more things than he did. And that through withholding, avoiding, all kinds of different things, wanting power, wanting control, he shut mom down. And that eventually over time, mom looks as unhealthy as him. But that when she was younger, she did fight for more things in the marriage. He just wore her down. Which is what he was intending to do, mm-hmm. right? That was the intention, wear her out, exhaust her so she'll stop. So I win and I get what I want and I get the control. And he said, I do want to apologize that I did this to you, to your mother, in front of you. And then it's Yuki that decides, I'm not going to have a partner that's going to treat me that way. I'm going to be on guard for this type of behavior. And really does do a good job. She tells me this at the end. She did a good job of dating her husband for about 4 to 5 years before they got married, before they decided that they were together, like for life, mm-hmm. to have children. So she said, you know, that was something that she learned about, which she didn't want from her mom and dad, and that she would be happy to take those messages to mom.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed that. I hope people are thinking about how they have been taught or not taught to define marriage mm-hmm. or partnership if you don't believe in the official thing, mm-hmm. The conditioning and what they actually want it to be.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be nice? More conscientious choices, eh?
That's the whole point of this show.
Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.